हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 54. Okay. About Rukmini Devi. She was looking for her Lord with shy side glances. She did not look directly. She saw the fallen kings and then saw Krishna. What did she do? She moved her lotus bud feet slowly with the desire to come closer to him. Instead of Chananabjako Shao, there's another version. Padma Koshal, accepted by Sridhar Swami. Charana is missing in that metaphor. This is an example of the first type, Shayoka, identity, indifference. Siddhatve Dayavasayasya Tishayoktir Nigadyate Bhede Pyabheda Sambhante Sambhantas Tad Viparyayau Purva Paryat Makam Karya Hetvo Sa Paschad Mataha. When the object is completely identified with the object of comparison, it is called Atishayokti. There are five types: identity indifference, non-relation indifference, non-relation in relationship, the opposites of these, and reversal of cause and effect. Sahitya Darpana, 71-72. Achyutam Cha is accepted by Sridhar Swami through Achyutam Sa. Right. So in other words, the Padma and Koshal, because there's a non-difference identity. What do you use? The first type, identity and difference. So there's a difference there between the feet and the lotus, but at the same time there's the identity of the feet with the lotus, and so therefore you don't have to mention the feet. Achyutam is accepted by Srila Sridhar Swami through Achyutam Sa is generally accepted. Sa seems to be correct to match the grammatical construction of the verses. She saw Krishna who did not waver from his promise, Achyutam. There was no need to investigate further. She was in the process of getting on the chariot. She did not get on immediately, but started doing various activities to prepare to mount the chariot. She did not mount immediately because she did not want to show disrespect to the sacred procession. The rivals looked on with a direct vision. They had recovered from their bewilderment. The possessive case is used to show that Krishna disrespected them. Right? So you have Krishna disrespecting them, the whole group that's there, them being bewildered and falling off of whatever they're sitting on or like that. And then she's respecting the procession she's in. So then, you know, nicely, carefully, she's coming to get up and get ready to mount the chariot. So it's not in any rush. And so, you know, so all this is going on at once because it's about the point. Krishna came. He said he would come. He did. Right? And having come, now we see is that he's going to kidnap her. Or, you know, kidnap means she's getting on the chariot to go. Kidnap is just the term means that you come and take, even though there was some other arrangement. She's supposed to marry someone else. You come and grab the girl, but you know, in this case, she would rather be with you anyway, so then it's not technically, but that's the term used. Like that. So then, So that flavor that's there of this and her absorption in Krishna, that faith in Krishna, knowing that Krishna is going to take care of, therefore she's moving, you know, carefully and properly and respectfully and all these things. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, lifting the princess onto his chariot, right? Because she can just jump up there, but the point is no, he lifts her up there because he's kidnapping rather than she's just jumping on his chariot. So she's preparing to go, but so therefore he'll lift. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, how you say, the car is there, the door is there, there's a little switch there, and if you move it with your finger, the door opens. You know, maybe push it a bit with your elbow. Whoopee, right? But what happens, right? Oh, there's something there, the bag, something there, some little thing has to be dealt with. And so what happens in that time that you're making that arrangement? Then the guy has gotten out of his door, gone around, has now opened her door, and then, thank you, this, that. You understand? That's what's going on here. So this is the origin of all that. These girls do their stuff waiting for the boy to do what he's supposed to do. It means it's not that they can't do it, but the point is if they do it, where's the relationship? So the point is in the taste of the relationship. That's the whole point. That he wanted she wanted him to marry her. This is the only way that could be done, is through the Rakshasa rite. So then he's come, and so that aspect is there. And now, but then he has to kidnap her. So then she's there respecting this and that, and, you know, taking the steps. And so then, you know, to speed things up, so he picks her up into the chariot, right? So, you understand? So it's about the relationship, because with Krishna, you don't have to worry. It's not that, oh no, now all these guys are here. If we don't hurry up, then everything will be ruined, you know, like that. No, it's Krishna. So he takes time what he wants. She takes the time they want. They enjoy the reciprocation and the whole rasa and that we're appreciating that also. And then there'll be plenty of time to take care of all these other wallas, you know, because, you know, now they're looking on with direct vision. They had recovered, but they still haven't. Gotten to the point where they've really understood that Krishna's kidnapping her, right? They saw the beauty. She's so beautiful. They fall off their elephants and horses and like that. Then they get up and then they can see again. But then she's just walking. Oh, she's walking so nicely. And now, you know, that Krishna's picking her up into the chariot. And now they're driving off, and because he drives off slowly. You know, we're not talking Lawrence of Arabia here, where he rides along and wishes the girl off and like that. How she doesn't break her back, I'm really not sure, but whatever it is, you know, and that. And so then, but, you know, then they, you know, ride off at full speed with everybody else. Here he's just driving off slowly. So they're just watching it. Oh, how beautiful. Because, you know, Rukmini with Krishna is the best combination. So it's going to look the best. And so they're just, wow, you know. And then at one point, the penny will drop. You know, I said. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, lifting the princess onto his chariot, whose flag bore the emblem of Garuda, Lord Madhava drove back the circle of kings. With Balaram in the lead, he slowly exited, like a lion removing his prey from the midst of jackals, right? When lions come in, they get rid of them, and then they just pick up, and then they walk off in their own gait. They don't gallop away. The jackals, they would be trying to gallop away. The problem is the prey is too big for them to go off with. That's why they follow the lions. Does that make sense? Yeah. The kings, inimical to the Lord, headed by Jarasandha, could not tolerate this humiliating defeat. They exclaimed, "Oh, damn us. Though we are mighty archers, mere cowherds have stolen our honor." Right? Because he always sees them in that light. He's just a cowherd, right? Sishupal, that's their whole group. He's a cowherd, you know. Just as pony animals might steal the honor of lions, when it's actually they're the jackals, Krishna's the lion, but they reverse it. Right? You know, that's the Srila Sanatana Goswami concludes. Their defeat was criticized because Krishna had directly taken away the bride. Right? Because it wasn't that he came in, there was an army and this, and there was a big fight, and, you know, it was a good battle, and then somehow another, you know, this and that. No, he just right in front of them came up, picked up the girl, and then went off, with Balaram leading in the front with his army and him following. And so just all of them are there, and Krishna just comes and picks up the girl. So that's why they're criticizing themselves. Because of this, their fame was destroyed. Since they could not do anything, or because their efforts to obtain a bride for Shishupal had failed, right? So they had come to ensure that Shishupal married the girl. But that didn't happen. And not only that, then single-handedly took her, and there wasn't even a fight. You know, it's one thing is there was a big fight, and somehow or another it worked out. But no fight. He just picks up the girl and drives off right in front of them as they're all watching. That's the fun. That's why she doesn't have to worry about moving too quickly. I mean, she's conscious, but I'm saying it's not that she's spacing out, but it's, you know, the full taste can be appreciated. Because how many times is Krishna going to come and pick you up, you know, and steal you away? So, you know, you want to get the full flavor, right? You know, yeah.
This is analogous to the Mohini when she's distributing nectar to the...
Oh, yes. Yeah, Mohini. Yeah, they're very carefully doing and looking back and smiling. And, yeah. So it's yeah. Yeah, I think. All the warriors other than the Yadus could not tolerate this defeat because they were proud of their valor. Aho indicates lamentation. Though we had bows in our hands, our fame was stolen by cowherds who hold only sticks in their hands, who live in the forest and pay taxes, right? Because they're kings, they don't pay taxes. But of course, Jarasandha can say this because all these other kings probably pay tax to him. You know, but these are his good friends, so probably he doesn't take tax. That's how you tell whether you're in the good books or not. Does the king tax the smaller kings? Right? When you have the bigger king protecting other kings, then if he feels that there needs to be some control or something, then he taxes. And the more control, the greater the tax. And then if he's being kind, less tax, or, you know, probably with his good friends, no tax. You know, just that they're doing well and prosperous, he's happy with that, because if there's ever a battle, then they all come together and fight. Right? This is most improper, right? Because they just come, you know, with cowherds with sticks in their hands, that they live in the forest, they pay taxes. You know, we live in the palaces, we take taxes, we're very, you know, how you say, aristocratic, and they're just a bunch of, you know, forest people. An example is given. The booty of the lions has been stolen by other animals. Or the fame in prowess of great strength has been stolen when the small animals take the booty. They consider the Yadus who accompanied Krishna to be cowherds. They just took them all as cowherds. Right? You know, because there's a connection. Because remember, the Nanda Baba and that, he's actually from his father. They are a Kshatriya family. Somehow or another, he's taken up. I'm not sure what's the story behind, but they've taken up the farming. His mother was a Vaishya. Okay, so then that's the... So then the son takes on the qualities of the mother. Conclusion. The non-devotees cannot perceive the Lord's internal energy, right? So they can't understand how the relationship between Rukmini and Krishna, how it's the Lord's pastimes, how all these things are going on by his arrangements. So they can't appreciate any of this. The kings assembled in Vidarbha were agitated with lust upon seeing the Lord's illusory potency, right? Because she expanded that for them. And then the internal potency, she only directed her beauty to Krishna. And then you say, no, but all these other kings are appreciated. That's the illusory energy. But the internal potency, that, then only Krishna is seen. The kings assembled in Vidarbha were agitated by the lust upon seeing the Lord's illusory potency, an expansion of Rukmini. So they weren't actually seeing her. They were seeing Maya.
Chatur-shloki. That which you see, which appears to have no reflection, no relationship with me, know that is my illusory energy.
Oh, okay. Yes. Very good. Right. So in the Chatur-shloki, that Krishna is saying that whatever you value, if you don't see it in connection with Krishna, then that's know that to be his illusory energy. So they value, you know, Rukmini and her beauty, but not in relation to Krishna. So they're seeing actually her expansion as the external energy. So they're not actually seeing, just like Ravana with Sita. He's only seeing the external energy. He's not seeing the internal. But, in other words, no one can lust after the Lord's eternal consort. Since as soon as one's mind is contaminated with lust, the covering of Maya separates from the one from the pristine beauty of the spiritual world and its inhabitants. Right, so that's just how it works. If there's lust, you're not dealing with spiritual. If there's love, then they're dealing with that. Does that make sense? That's the whole principle. Is that if we see it connected to Krishna, then we're dealing with the spiritual. We don't see it connected, we're dealing with Maya. Right? But now, by devotional service, we have a process by which we can connect what we value for ourselves to Krishna through the process of renunciation. So yukta vairagya. Right? We see it in relation to Krishna, we give up the results for Krishna. And that way then we can do. Now it's just a matter of whether we're working in renunciation itself or we're working in sannyas. But in any case, the principle being that it can be connected. That's mixed devotional service, right? And by that connection to Krishna, we get purified until we come to pure devotional service. Does that make sense? Right. So, in other words, these Jarasandha and Shishupal and all that were not engaged in sadhana bhakti here. They were just overwhelmed by the material energy. Chapter 44, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, Pratigya. The spirit soul is of the same pure quality in any embodiment of matter. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna defeated the opposing kings after kidnapping Rukmini. Disfigured Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, brought Rukmini to his capital and married her. As Sri Krishna was taking Princess Rukmini away, the inimical kings gathered their armies and pursued him. Lord Baladeva and the generals of the Yadava army turned to face these opponents, blocking their advance. The enemy armies then began pouring incessant showers of arrows upon Lord Krishna's army. Seeing her husband-to-be's forces under such violent attack, Srimati Rukmini looked at Krishna fearfully. But Krishna simply smiled and told him there was nothing to fear because his army would surely destroy the enemy in short order. Because Balaram's in charge, so, you know, he's getting some fun, right? Lord Balaram and the other heroes then began to annihilate the opposing army with Naracha arrows. The enemy kings, headed by Jarasandha, retreated after suffering the destruction of their armies at the hands of the Yadavas. So, in other words, they destroyed their whole armies and just left the king. So now it's either they can retire or then, hey, we got more arrows. You know, so they get the idea, right? So they retreat at that point because they think they've got a chance and then it just goes in. Their whole army's destroyed, so then they pull back. Because right, the king also has to know when to retreat, because otherwise then you can't come to fight again. You can't actually get anywhere. Jarasandha consoled Shishupal. Happiness and distress are never permanent and are under the control of the Supreme Lord. 17 times Krishna defeated me, but in the end I was victorious over him. Because right? They don't see Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Right, so they know the philosophy, but they only lose it for their purpose. That's why knowing the philosophy isn't enough. That's why the whole process of devotional service. So he knows philosophy, he has the culture, but we see as he doesn't have the devotion. So that's why the actual devotion is the main thing. These others are very useful in the practice of devotion, but they themselves aren't the devotion.
Right. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a statement that previously, kings like Jarasandha, they worshipped Lord Vishnu.
Yeah.
But because they're inimical to Krishna, they're considered as demons.
Yeah. So, Vishnu is there, but that Krishna is not him, so therefore there's a problem. They don't catch it. They'll worship Vishnu, they won't go beyond the Krishna. So. Yeah. So that's why these demons, they're so big because of their piety. You know, so they're not, it's not that... they're big just because they got added to, you know, and they snort enough cocaine or something. You know? So that's not why they're successful. But that's because they're actually they're on the material platform very pious. But that's the point. Unfortunately, piety isn't enough to give you bhakti. So you have bhakti comes from bhakti. It's independent. Because otherwise, we think that by knowing all these things, we'll do then devotional service will improve. No, devotional service will improve with the improvement of devotional service. Because these things, the demons know. But still, it's not devotional service. It's a fine line. That's the 17 times Krishna defeated me, but in the end I was victorious over him. Thus seeing that victory and defeat are under the control of destiny and time, I have learned not to succumb to either lamentation or joy. Like, as if you lament, you can't do anything. If you're too joyful, you can't do anything. So you keep it balanced. Time now favors the Yadavas, so they have defeated you with only a small army. Right? And Balaram, right? Yeah. But in the future, time will favor you, right? Because just like he came and he was defeated so many times, now in the future, you'll be successful. And you will surely conquer them. Consoled in this way, Shishupal took his followers and returned to his kingdom. So it appears, you know, festivities, they just leave. They don't even bother with the rest of it, you know, hanging out or no.
So, Maharaj, when we say lamentation or joy, it means like ignorance and passion?
Yes, it just means happiness and distress. If happiness is taken too far into joy, then it becomes a problem.
Yes.
And if distress is taken too far into lamentation, it's a problem. So you can be distressed, you can see is that something has to be considered. And then you apply yourself to what to do. But if you lament, you stop doing anything. So ignorance takes over. You know, and joy is just about enjoying the moment rather than dealing with the moment. Because the point is you happiness comes because of endeavor in the field. And so if we stop endeavoring, how will that continue? So that means things stop. So we go into joy, then things don't work. You know, like you take joy too far, it's like Beethoven, you know, he took it into his ode to joy, but he was deaf. So, you know, it's not a great, Rukmi's brother, Rukmini. No, Rukmini's brother, Rukmi. Yes. Who hated Krishna. Now you really hate him, right? Was infuriated by Krishna's kidnapping of his sister. So, after vowing before all the kings present that he would not return to Kundina until Krishna had been destroyed and Rukmini rescued. Like, as if she needs rescuing, right? The Rukmini set out with his army to attack the Lord. Ignorant of Lord Krishna's glories, Rukmi boldly went out to attack Krishna in a lone chariot. He went to venture where no man should have dared go. He approached the Lord, struck him with arrows, and demanded that he release Rukmini. Sri Krishna fended off Rukmi's weapons, breaking them to pieces. Then he raised his sword high and was about to kill Rukmi when Rukmini interceded and fervently pleaded that her brother's life be spared. Lord Krishna did not kill Rukmi, but with his sword he shaved off bits of Rukmi's hair here and there, leaving him disfigured. That's the disfigured means, you know, his hair and beard are not in good form, because that's his full, you know, Kshatriya presentation. So if you have little bits of hair cut off here and there, you know, and Krishna would have done it very nicely, so it would look definitely not nice. Right? You know, not that you can, you know, comb over something or do, you know, it's like, you're not going to do anything with this, right? Just then, Lord Baladev appeared on the scene with the Yadava army. Right, because he had just finished with that. Seeing Rukmi disfigured, he gently reproached Krishna. To this figure, such a close family member is as good as killing him. Therefore, he should not be killed, but set free. Right? So it's it's as good as killing, because then you've insulted. So that's as good as killing. Like criticizing a Brahmin is the same as killing. It's considered in the same category. You know, so that's why then I think it was Arjuna, when he at one battle, I'm not sure where it was, but Yudhishthira came in and Arjuna was busy, like that. It may have been with the some saptakas or something, so he wasn't there to protect Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira made some comment about the Gandiva bow, and Arjuna had a vow that anybody who criticized the bow, he would kill him. So now, how does he kill his brother? I'm not sure if he worked it out or someone suggested it, so then it was, you know, it came up with a solution that he'll insult his brother. So he came out and insulted him very severely, and so then that was there, and then everything was fine.
Episode of Karna.
Sorry?
Episode with Karna. Actually, Karna was defeating the army. He's violently hitting the Pandava side.
Okay.
And Arjuna was not present at that time.
Uh-huh.
He was about to go and kill Yudhishthira. Krishna says, "What are you doing?" Then Arjuna says, "I took this vow," and Krishna suggests this.
Oh, Krishna suggested. Okay. So that's the principle. So insulting is as good as killing. Yes.
But here, what he did to Rukmi, he was already very inimical, but by doing this, he really gained enemy.
Yeah, but without good enemies, then what's the fun? Yeah, for Krishna. So therefore, you learn from that. Don't shave off bits of somebody's hair here and there. Yeah, don't you do that. Krishna does that. You shouldn't do that. So his point is, it's as good as killing him, so therefore he should be set free. Right? Considering he's a family member and this and that, so because now he's a brother-in-law. Right, like it or not, but he's brother-in-law. But you know, it'll be he's set free because point is Krishna's not supposed to kill him. Balaram is. So Balaram, you set him free. You know, we'll take care of him later. Don't worry. Lord Baladev then told Rukmini that the sorry condition of her brother was only the fruit of his past work. Right, because philosophy is the only way that you can balance things. Because it's just because you get too much into the Dharma side of it, and so then that's going off and one's getting distracted. So by putting in philosophy, then it brings it back to the neutral state. So we see here is that Balaram's using that with Rukmini, Charasandha used that with Shishupal, Hiranyakashipu used that with his various family members. It's like that. So that's just how it works. That's the proper thing. Then finding the right method, the right way to say it. So it's not that, it's just a philosophy, what's that? No, but it's said, you can see with the proper attitude, with the proper mood. So you have to catch the mood of the person and from there introduce the philosophy. That's how it works. Does that make sense? It's not that you always just preach a philosophy and then that's it. No, it still has to be done. Because where is the problem? It's gone too far into the religious side. So therefore, with that religious founding and that mood, you have to therefore present the philosophy. So you have to be able to take the philosophy down to the position where they are and then bring them back up. That's the culture. Right? So you see, that's the method. Lord Baladev then told Rukmini that the sorry condition of her brother was only the fruit of his past work, since everyone is responsible for his own happiness and suffering. He further instructed her about the transcendental position of the jiva soul and how the illusion of happiness and distress is simply a result of ignorance. Accepting Lord Balaram's instructions, Rukmini gave up her sorrow. You know, because it's just, he brought it on himself. You know. Rukmi, meanwhile, felt totally frustrated, deprived as he was of all his strength and his will to fight. Since he had vowed not to return home without conquering Krishna, Rukmi constructed a city on that very spot and took up residence there in a mood of undiminished anger. Right? Because then, you know, you can nurture the anger. So probably he built his house right on the spot where he got his special shaving. Lord Krishna took Rukmini to his capital, Dwarka, and married her. All the citizens celebrated in lavish style, broadcasting throughout the city accounts of how the Lord had kidnapped Rukmini. Everyone in Dwarka was delighted to see Lord Krishna united with Rukmini, right? Because all the Yadus were there, so they would have told everyone what happened, and everyone would have been very happy with that. Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses 1 through 17. The defeat of Jarasandha, 18 to 36. The disfiguring of Rukmini, 37 to 49. Balaram consoles Rukmini. And 50 to 60, the wedding of Krishna and Rukmini. Verses 1 to 17, the defeat of Jarasandha. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus spoken, all those infuriated kings donned their armor and mounted their conveyances. Each king, bow in hand, was surrounded by his own army as he went after Lord Krishna. The commanders of the Yadava army, seeing the enemy racing to attack, turned to face them and stood firm. O king, twanging their bows, mounted on backs of horses, the shoulders of elephants, and the seats of chariots. The enemy kings, expert with weapons, rained down arrows upon the Yadus like clouds pouring rain on mountains. Slender-waisted Rukmini, seeing her lord's army covered by torrents of arrows, shyly looked at his face with fear-stricken eyes. In response, the Lord laughed and assured her, do not be afraid, beautiful-eyed one. This enemy's force is about to be destroyed by your soldiers, right? So your soldiers, because now she's part of that family, so now they're her soldiers, right? Because they're Yadus. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, do not be afraid, Masma Bahi. Your army will defeat the enemy. Out of affection for his new bride, he calls his troops hers. Right? So then that aspect is there. Because possession is the whole point. Relationships means possession. Right? So you bring that out. Srila Ji Goswami comments, fearless, he laughed to dispel her fear when he saw her in that condition. Right? Because if he's sober, she may get worried. But he laughs. No. But it's not a laughing at her. He's just laughing. No, it's don't worry. It's fine. Laughing, fearless, he laughed to dispel her fear when he saw her in that condition. O Rukmini, with beautiful eyes, he explained in this way out of joy, because at this time he experienced the excellent beauty that she had offered to him, right? Because she said she only expanded her beauty just to please Krishna. And so at this point, then, that's what happened, right? She's expanding that beauty, and he's now able to appreciate. Because first they just get up on the chariot, they're just riding out, and then now at this point, then she's interacting with him directly. And so now he experiences that, you know, just how beautiful her eyes are.
Here she's fearful.
Yeah. So what is that? Why bring that up?
No, because if she's fearful, then is she that beautiful? Then because she's
fearful, is she that beautiful? why would she not be beautiful?
Because if she's normal, then the beauty is.
If she's normal. But normal meaning. Not fearful, not normal meaning she's just like everyone else on the street. Okay, not fearful. And why would a girl, in being fearful, be not beautiful?
Pale.
Okay, well, the Indians thought the West Europeans were pale. They called them pale faces. But somehow or another, the Europeans very much appreciated each other's paleness, especially the girls. If you look at the old paintings back 400 or 500 years, the girls are white like milk. And the guys actually look more like Sephardis. They have more of a dark complexion.
No, but I was thinking of Pandu.
Pandu.
That was his defect, because his mother turned pale.
But why would this bring about a reduction in beauty? Is it only about the external?
No.
Beauty is only skin deep. Okay. That's working on that philosophy. Then, So what causes the beauty?
The relationship.
The relationship. So does the relationship change? Right? So in other words, if we're using, as you said, when you said ordinary, we'll take it to the point of, now we're taking another angle. Ordinary girls, right? Now, when they get scared, who are they thinking about? Right? Who are they worried about? Themselves. So how is that going to be beautiful, right? But here, she's thinking about Krishna, because it's all about Krishna. So why would the beauty change? It's just a different flavor. Does that make sense? Okay. He exclaimed in this way out of joy, because at this time he experienced the excellent beauty that she had offered to him, right? Because it's about her offering her beauty to Krishna. They will be destroyed because of your troops, actually his troops, right? Because it's not that she came with her own army. You know, it's not that when she got up on the chariot, then all those guards that there then got up with her, and then now she's releasing her guards, you know, and then they all go out there. No, it's not that. Yeah. They will be destroyed easily. The plural of is used, tavakaihi, your troops, to indicate that his troops were numerous, whereas the enemy troops were meager, denoted by the singular. He said this to calm her. So he said our troops in the plural sense, but the others in the singular, because they were just as one group, but ours is plural. So just showing that our troops are greater. So that makes sense. So here is volume is not the actual matter. It's in one sense you say volume is because Balaram's army is unlimited because of his potency, and the others are limited. But at the same time, there may be more numbers than the others, but the quality of the Yadu army is so much greater. That's why no one except for what was it, Shalva or something, then they tried to attack Dwarka. Otherwise, no one's that stupid. Okay, so he says all these things, so you understand what he's doing. So whatever you're doing, you have to take the position of the person, and then according to that you speak. That's the method. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. The heroes of the Lord's army, headed by Gada and Sangarshana, could not tolerate the aggression of the opposing kings. Is Gada also... Sankarsana is Balaram.
Gada is the brother, younger brother of Krishna. Therefore, he's called as Gadagriha also. He's another name Krishna.
Oh, okay.
And he is very dear.
Oh, it means he's a son of Vasudeva.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a... Okay. So he could not tolerate the aggression of the opposing kings. Thus, with iron arrows, they began to strike down the enemy's horses, elephants, and chariots. Okay, that's those special arrows. Right, because they're made with iron. So then they go, go through everything like that. The heads of soldiers fighting on chariots, horses, and elephants fell to the ground by the millions. Some heads wore earrings and helmets, others turbans. Lying all around were thighs, legs, and fingerless hands, along with hands clutching swords, clubs, and bows, and also the heads of horses, donkeys, elephants, camels, wild asses, and humans. Seeing their armies being struck down by the Vrishnis, who were eager for victory, the kings headed by Jarasandha were discouraged and left the battlefield. The king, because they sent this whole, there's so many of them, all these kings, they all have their own armies. And here Balaram comes with his army. And then they send all of them, send showers of arrows, and then they counter that, and then when they shoot back, they just destroy everything. Like that. So they just left the battlefield. The kings approached Shishupala, who was disturbed like a man who had lost his wife. His complexion was drained of color. Now here's the one you're talking about. Now he's not looking good. His enthusiasm was gone, and his face appeared dried up, right? Because of his mood. He's worried about himself. So therefore, then all these manifest. But because if it's all about Krishna, then these different sanctuaries that manifest will be all attracted to Krishna. They won't not be.
So that's how you can judge person is Krishna conscious or not?
Okay, yes. Good chance, yes. So now you know. So when they go, you're not Krishna conscious, are you? What has that got to do with anything? Okay. The king spoke to him as follows. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. When the enemy headed by Jarasandha found that they were gradually being defeated by the soldiers of Krishna, right? Because they don't want to do it too quickly. You know, you want to have some fun, right? So you know, at a comfortable pace, what's that called? Leisurely, you know, you destroy them all. You know, like that. Because they could do it in one swell swoop, right? One fell swoop. Well, it was a good food, right?
Yeah.
Swell also means very good, right? Generally used by kids, right? Like that. I think back in like the 50s, yeah. That swell means really good. Right? Yeah. One fell swoop. Yes. Just at one time, it's destroyed, right? So, we're not, you know, they're not doing that because they, you know, you want to, not that they couldn't, but it's just they're having fun. When the enemies headed by Jarasandha found that they were gradually being defeated by the soldiers of Krishna, they thought it unwise to risk losing their armies in the battle for the sake of Shishupal. Shishupal, you know, he's okay, but, you know, not worth losing the whole army, you know, like that. Now, if it was Jarasandha and his wedding, now the others better lose their armies, right? Yeah. Shishupal himself should have fought to rescue Rukmini from the hands of Krishna. But when the soldiers saw that Shishupal was not competent to fight with Krishna, right, because of his position, they decided not to lose their armies unnecessarily. Now, if he was out there fighting with his army, like Rukmini had gone out, then they would be inspired to fight. But since he wasn't fighting and he wasn't doing anything, then why they should be doing anything like that? You know, they made their stand, but it didn't, okay, so then you step back. Therefore, they ceased fighting and dispersed. Some of the princes, as a matter of etiquette, appeared before Shishupal, right? Because they had come here for his support. They saw that Shishupal was discouraged, like one who has lost his wife. His face appeared dried up. He had lost all his energy, and all the luster of his body had disappeared. They addressed Shishupal thus. Jarasandha said, "Listen, Shishupal, O tiger among men, give up your depression. After all, embodied beings, happiness and unhappiness is never seen to be permanent. O king, just as a puppet in the form of a woman dances to the desire of the puppeteer, so this world, controlled by the Supreme Lord, struggles in both happiness and misery." Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Sukadev mocks Shishupal through Jarasandha's words. He repeats, "Po, po," to make Shishupal in great pain face him. "It is not proper for a tiger among men to become depressed. Since you are king, you should know that the Jiva takes many bodies. That is indicated when he says, 'O king, Rajan.'" Right? Because as a king, that's part of the training. Otherwise, how do you fight on the battlefield to the death? It was such enthusiasm, unless you know that the soul never dies. Because the point is in that enthusiasm, you'll either win the fight or you'll be defeated. But because it's a righteous fight, therefore, then if you win, then you enjoy the results here. And if you lose, you go to the heavenly planet. So there's no loss. Right? Does that make sense? That's the point. So dying in battle, there is no impurity. Right? You know, like they have that stage of impurity, but because they die in battle, there's no impurity. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "Why is everything impermanent? It is the desire of the Lord to show that the universe is dependent on Him. An example is given. Women like to dance. All people experience happiness and distress, dependent on the Lord. When the Lord desires a person's happiness, he is happy. When he desires his suffering, he suffers. In happiness, he attains what he likes. In suffering, he attains what he does not like." Right, so that's how you tell the difference, if you ever wanted to know. Here's nicely defined. When you get what you want, that's called happiness. When you don't get what you want, when you get what you don't want. Not that you don't get what you want, when you get what you don't want.
Yeah.
Suffering is mentioned after happiness because there is no choice for the jiva. One cannot search out a cause since it is by the desire of the Lord. If there were some other cause, the Lord's independence would be faulty. It would mean no supreme Lord. So it's his desire this is happening. But it's based on you do this work, you'll get this result, right? That's the Lord's, the rules that he applies. So you follow that. Then if you get the distressful thing, that's what happens because you applied it in a particular way. Does that make sense? So in that way, it's through his desire. He sets the rules. Then you play the game. Then you get the benefits according to the game. Not that he has to sit there and each time, you know, make the decision. It's already been empowered through his external energy. So then she takes care of the details because she knows what to do in the various situations. Right? So if you do this, you get this. If you do that, you get that. So, makes sense?
Well, does that change for the devotee? Does he take the decision every time?
It depends on the devotee. Means the point is their benefit is still coming through the external energy, but Krishna's involved, so it's not just on automatic pilot. Basically, you can say that Maya takes care. So he's decided like that. But if they're very advanced, then he takes care personally, like we see with Prahlad Maharaj. He personally comes and takes care. But otherwise, even the facilities we get by Krishna's arrangement is delivered through the external energy. Like that, but it's by Krishna's arrangement. So that's Krishna karma, is that you may be getting things that wouldn't come to you according to your own karma, but they're coming because of our service to Krishna. So it's because of our service to Krishna they're coming. If we do it to get those things, then what's the point? How is it service? So then why would they come? Charasunda continued, in battle with Krishna, I and my 23 armies lost 17 times. Only once did I defeat him, but still I never lament or rejoice, because I know this world is driven by time and fate. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. He gives the conclusion, I never lament in defeat. I never rejoice in victory. Karhichit should be understood with both statements. I know the world is agitated by time. Since time is equal to everyone, is equal everywhere, there should be no appearance of happiness or sorrow. Time is linked with karma, which gives various results to various people. Previously he said it was the will of the Lord. Now he said it's his time endowed with karma. Because the karma of the jiva has no beginning at all, it has no end. A particular aspect of time, composed of the Lord's actions, produces the particulars of karma. Right, so, since it's from time immemorial, you can't say when it begins, but whatever it is, once we come here, then we have that materialistic mentality, that's when this cycle starts. But because it's technically started before coming to this creation, then there is no beginning, right? And there's technically no end. You can go on here forever. But by the grace of Krishna, then one comes in contact with the devotees. Therefore, then one gives up and steps outside of it. Otherwise, karma just keeps going, because for every action, there's a reaction, and in every action, there's so many smaller actions. So all of those are generating reactions, and so, like that. Jarasandha concluded, and now all of us, great commanders of military leaders, have been defeated by the Yadus and their small entourage. Right? So that was the point. It wasn't so big. Right? But they're also saying it's small to try to diminish their position. They've been defeated by the Yadus and their small entourage, who are protected by Krishna. Now our enemies have conquered because time favors them. But in the future, when time is auspicious for us, we shall conquer. 27. Bali Maharaj similarly advised his followers, O Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts, no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The supreme time factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Previously being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:21, 19 through 24. Okay, so this is the time factor, and how the time moves, that's how things work. Because time is in control of the Lord, so we don't know what will happen when, how things will happen. We can't say. Because what karma we've done in the past, when it will come, of what volume, mixed with what, we don't know. So when time factor does, when things aren't going the right way, then one deals with that. And then when things are favorable, then one moves in the other way. One performs one's duties, so not that, but the particular specific work you want to get done within those duties, then sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, so one's not supposed to get distressed.
Maharaj, is it fair to say that the science and art of astrology is in order to divine when these things are, the influence of time will manifest certain things?
And but it means let us take that it is doing that, but what's the purpose of doing that? Why would you want to divine that this is a bad time and in the future there's a good time?
For the karma, it's for their own enjoyment.
Yes, but, and so you would be saying it for what purpose?
My own pleasure.
That's there, but in the context of what we were discussing before.
In order to be able to perform the activities and get the right result from them.
Yes, so you have to see in connection with the Lord and all that. So, in any case, whether you know it or not, it's going to go that way anyway. And then you have the aspect that it's what you're doing with it that it's important, not that it will be there. So it's only if there's an extreme case, then you might use that to inspire the person. So it's to inspire them to perform their duties, to be Krishna conscious. That's the whole point. Because ultimately astrology can tell you situations, but exactly how they'll come out, you can't say because you're dealing with Krishna karma. So Krishna can adjust since he's the Lord of things. You know, generally he'll follow the rules, but he may reduce something. So it's not that because the chart says that that's how it's going to happen. You know, those are the fields you're working in. Those are generally how it works, but Krishna can adjust that. The field won't change. You know what I'm saying? If someone's a Brahmin, they'll remain a Brahmin, or Kshatriya, Kshatriya, like that. And so the field that they're working in, that will remain. But you'll see that the soul at any time can, by Krishna consciousness, step out of that. So if they become fully self-realized, they don't need to work within that circle. That they can't tell. So when it's just like they'll always say, it shows at this point then one's liberated. But they'll take that means that you left the body. But you could also get liberated and not have left the body. So they can't actually tell fully what's going on. Because it's up to the limit is up to the edge of the, basically the universe. What's beyond, they can't really tell. You know, so even the Mahatattva they can't define. So it would only be used to encourage someone and that inspire them. But you can't necessarily bank on it, you know, because things adjust like that. Karmis, yeah, you can tell them what it says there, that's what's going to happen. There's not going to be one adjustment at all like that. But with the devotees, then it can. It's not that something else will happen, just that thing may not happen. It may be reduced, or what you'd get is increased. So you can't say what it'll be. The generally thought that I could see all these things, but that means I'm the controller. But we're not, so... That's why it's a valuable science, but its main purpose is defining the auspicious times to do things, and then of other aspects, then of, what do you say? You know, what's appropriate arrangement for a marriage, or how to define it, you know, what syllables to use for a name and some scholar, you know, these kind of things like that, the practical things. But this, you know, whether we're, when we're going to become rich and famous and all that, that's not actually the main purpose of the science. And that's more used by those who, you know, have more attachment to these things. So then that way then you use, but it has to be understood is that attachment itself is going to give trouble. So if that's given up, then these things you're not worried about. So. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, summarizing, he hides his real shame and suffering. Right? Because, you know, because if he's like that, then everybody will just lament and it'll turn into this, you know. Yes?
Maharaj, can we say that not only for the body, the Krishna karma like works, but also maybe some karmis who are following the religion and they pray to Krishna or to God, and that could be also change some karma?
Yeah, but how much will it change?
According to the devotion.
And how much devotion is there? You know, as far as I know, is that the only ones that had a devotion that no one is, I mean, well, no one is criticizing is Mother Mary and the centurion. And depending upon the line you're in, then Mary Magdalene may being seen in a good light or not. But everyone else kind of didn't do so good. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it about if I serve the Lord nicely, then he'll change my karma? Is that what we're looking for? If we are, then how much devotion is that? One's committed to the Lord and is fulfilling one's material desires from the Lord. So in that way, that's good. That's better than the common person. But at the same time, is that actually a standard? You know what I'm saying? So that mixed devotional service is not a standard. We may be doing it, but we don't, you know. We'll just take it up to it's in the Lord's hands. And leave it at that. But if it's a matter, well, he's supposed to change it, then what's the point of then knowing that? Why know these facts if that's what we're going to do with it? So it's a matter of it's up to the Lord anyway. So if you remain dependent upon the Lord, it will work out. And working out means we become more God conscious. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Because otherwise, if you look at it, then the fight between Dhritarasura and Indra, then it appears that Indra was the victor, but actually Dhritarasura was, because Dhritarasura went back to Godhead and Indra stayed here. So that's why depending upon the Lord, becoming God conscious, that's the real thing we want from the devotion. So if you discuss, then it's there, then you can bring out, yes, it is in the hands of the Lord. So that can apply to anybody. But the point is therefore, it's about that, because then that has that devotional aspect. They're just, they're ordinary devotees, because they're not technically, you know, sampradayak. And say, oh, but they're in that particular line, but at the same time, are they committed to the instructions and following them and stuff like that? So most people are just general. You know what I'm saying? But they're still devotees. But the point is Krishna reciprocates according to there. So if all it is, you know, give us this day our daily bread, then Krishna just has to appear as bread. That's all he has to do. You worship him as bread, he appears as bread. That's it. You understand? So therefore, is that may be there, but we want to take what's beyond that. So we wouldn't emphasize it in that way. We would bring out the other. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.
From the next week, that's what you said.
Yes, but Monday is Nityananda Triodasi, so we won't have class on that day. From Tuesday through, you know, up to Gaurapurnima.
Monday, Nityananda?
Yeah, next Monday.
16.